Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, wrestling fans. Unfortunately, we open on a sad note this week. On Wednesday night, Steve Richardson, a.k.a. Puppet the Psycho Dwarf, who was somebody that I actually worked with back in the mid-90s, suddenly passed away at his home. Sad thing. We've lost so many of our guys this year. It's been really, really rough. But anyway, welcome to Live from the Dean's Den. Steve Kane, the Dean of Wrestling Referees here. And joining me tonight, our good friend from SportsKita.com, Lee Walker. Lee, hey, glad to have you with me, my friend.
Hey, always glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you got it. You got it, brother. All right, well, let's go ahead and let's get off onto a little more let's say pleasant things here, and start off. We're going to start off actually talking a little bit of NXT UK, and they're of course just gotten back into production and broadcasting. And they're getting ready to do their next big program, which is being called the Heritage Cup. And this one, Lee, they are going old school, and I mean British old school. Which means that they're going back to the way that wrestling was in the 60s and the 70s over there, and they're going to be fought on a round system.
I, for one, am looking forward to it. I really am.
I'll tell you this. Yeah.
I have not really been exposed to a lot of NXT UK. I think, as you know, my work schedule and stuff, it makes it hard to catch everything. And, but you know, what I have seen from NXT UK, I've liked. I like the technical style, like the Bret Harts, the Hart family in themselves, in that style, Lance Storm, very great technical wrestler, Dean Malenko, great technical wrestler. Gentleman Chris Adams, technical wrestler. In that style, William Regal, technical wrestler. That style of wrestling always appeased to me. One, because I was an amateur wrestler growing up. But over in the UK, it's a huge, the technical style is awesome. And they, don't get me wrong, they love all styles of wrestling. But you tend to see more technical wrestling. And that 60s and 70s, that era, that was technical wrestling. So it's going to be really interesting to see how some of their performers, make the gradual switch over, because not everyone over there does the technical wrestling, but it'll be interesting to see it. I understand they're going to have a whole new layout for the show in itself, and I'm interested to see how it goes.
Yeah,
especially since we saw that a lot of the NXT UK guys were called out during the women's movement there with, the sexual assaults and everything.
Right.
the speaking out movement. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, since WWE did fire some of the wrestlers that were called out.
Right. Right. Yep. Yep. It's definitely going to be, as far as talent goes, this is who they have right now. They've got Flash Morgan Webster, Noam Dar, Alexander Wolf, A-Kid, Dave Mastiff, Joseph Connors, and Trent Seven. Now, they haven't said as far as whether there will be a bigger prize in store, such as, say, a NXT UK title match and that. But, a quick explanation of the British system from this time, which, like I say, is old school. This is the stuff that Johnny Saint, who is the NXT UK commissioner, this is the style that he fought under back in the day. It's 2 out of 3 falls for 6 rounds, and each round is 3 minutes. There's a 20-second break between rounds, and a fall can either be gained by pinfall, submission, or count out. If there's a disqualification or a knockout, and yes, they actually count knockouts in British wrestling, and that ends the match right then and there, regardless of what fall it is. And then whoever scores 2 falls or has a point advantage, and if I'm remembering right, it's a 5-point system. And so whoever has the point advantage or scores 2 falls before the match is over is the winner and will go on to the next stage of the tournament. So, and this is something now. Actually, here for a while, there was a promotion which was actually owned and operated by a friend of mine called AWF, and it was it was run out of Minneapolis, and they actually wrestled under the round system. Was definitely, of course, quite unusual for American audiences. I'm not sure who all even still remembers AWF. But there was a lot of guys that were brought in. Hacksaw Duggan, Chris Adams was brought into it, Tito Santana. He spent a lot of money. let's just put it this way. He spent a lot of money. And some of that money came from, let's say, some questionable sources. And he had to take off for a while because of that. So that is that, and we'll just leave that part of it as is, and not go any further. So let's see here. Of course, now we know WrestleMania week, a lot of shows got canceled out because, of course, everything canceled out for the COVID. But they're starting to bring them back, and Game Changer is actually actually going to be running a lot of these shows out of Indianapolis. They can have a few more people in the audience over there, as opposed, I guess, to Florida or wherever else. I don't know why, but you know it is. But they've announced Josh Burnett's Bloodsport, which, if you're wondering, for those of you who wonder where Raw Underground came from, they directly stole Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. it's the exact same thing: ring without ropes and knockout or submission. So so far they've announced two participants. Last week it was Josh Alexander from Impact's former tag team champions North, and just today it was announced that Homicide from LAX is going to be, is entered into Bloodsport 3. I don't know. We've had Homicide on. He's a great guy. Love him to death. Really, really super nice guy. I'm definitely peaked to see what happens with this one. The whole show is called The Collective. They're putting out a lot of the shows that were canceled from that. They're going on here, Black Label Pro is also going to be running. It was what the show that was supposed to be called Threat Level Midnight is now being called Threat Level Noon, and that will happen at noon on October 11th over there. And the big match on that one, they're going to have from Team Filthy, Filthy Tom Lawler and Eric Stevens, and wait until you hear who they're teamed up to face. You're gonna love this. Heath and Fred Rosser, aka Darren Young.
Ah, no kidding. There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, Fred's just really getting back. He's also doing that New Japan show that is being recorded in L.A. at the dojo out there for NJPW World. So he's just starting to get back into the full time actual competition. And so here he is now teaming up with Heath, formerly Heath Slater. And it'd be that's what I'd love to see, because I want to see, see Heath all the time. But it's been a long time since you've seen Rosser. So it'll be interesting to see how he comes out for that particular one. And then on Friday the 9th, they're going to have For the Culture. which is going to be there, which is going to be all wrestlers of color. And they just announced for this one that Trey Miguel from the Rascals is going to be facing off, and I'm so happy to see that he's actually getting back. He's going to get back out and get in the ring. JTG.
Oh, man.
Now, yes. Yes. Yeah, so I think this is going to be this is going to be his first match. Well, let's see here. Okay. Well, this will actually be his second match. He faced Brian Cage at Violence X Sufferings No Justice No Peace event. But this will be like his second match since Shad Gaspar's tragic death. So it's going to be fascinating. I love the concept of For the Culture.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, 100%. Like I say, every, you know, 100%, when I saw it originally, at first I wasn't sure about the name because, of course, that was during that time when ACH was coming out against everything that Vince was doing to him. And his tweets were, he was always hashtagging them for the culture, and there was a lot of controversy going on at that point. And it was like, okay, I'm not sure about going ahead with that particular name. Now I'm all for it. I think it's gonna be really good. Let's see here. Southern Underground Pro will also be running that on that Friday. They'll do a 4 o'clock show. I don't know how they're gonna. I don't know as far as what type of crowd they're gonna draw at a 4 p.m. I mean, yeah. You know, again, I understand limited that type of thing, but they're gonna have the headline match, AC Mac, defending his Bone Storm Championship against one called Manders. And Manders has wrestled in Beyond Wrestling, Warrior Wrestling, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And of course, GCW. Alley Cat takes on Davian. O'Shea Edwards will be taking on. He's being billed here as Jake Something. He's, of course, known to Impact fans as Cousin Jake from the Deaners. Eric Stevens takes on Brett Eisen. Violence is Forever takes on To Infinity and Beyond. And Nolan Edwards takes on AJ Gray. And
Infinity and Beyond. I know that
and
team.
And then, what's that?
But Infinity and Beyond, I know that team. I'm just trying to put my finger on where.
Oh, well, okay, let me.
I'm starting to put my finger on where else I've heard.
Let me pop back, get their names. Colin Delaney and Cheech Hernandez.
That's why.
That helps.
It's Cheech and Colin Delaney. That's why. Colin's former ECW, the revamped version. That's why I know. I've seen
yeah,
those guys
yeah.
quite a bit.
WECW.
Yeah. good team. I've seen them live at Excite Wrestling in Binghamton, New York. Good team.
Excellent. And then they're still actually calling it Spring Break 4. Even though it will be in October. But they are going to have they're advertising Alex Shelley of the Motor City Machine Guns. He will be taking on Tony Deppen from Ring of Honor.
All right. That's going to be a good match.
Yeah. Well, it's nice because now that Motor City Machine Guns are back, everybody tends to equate Alex Shelley as one half of Motor City Machine Guns, and he was doing a big thing with as a singles for Ring of Honor there for a while. And then another event for the Friday of that weekend, Jimmy Lloyd's Degeneration F. At this one they're announcing free general admission with donation. And so the first match they announced, Ace Austin, former X Division champion, will be facing Jordan Oliver from Major League Wrestling. They're going to have there's going to be a death match between Atticus Kogar and Colby Carino, Steve Carino's son.
I've seen Kobe in action. He's another good talent. That's going to be a good match.
Worked with his dad many years ago, and I mean, his dad's a great talent. I always when he was with CW, I felt so bad because he was putting over guys that he was definitely much better than. I was so glad when Paul Heyman picked him up for ECW and really went ahead and let him shine, because he was really, really good. Colby's definitely taken up after him. He's had his issues in life, but it looks like he's gotten himself back on track, which is always, always a great thing to see. And it'll be nice to see how he winds up turning out with this. So now let's see here. Let's get into a little something that's here in my area, Warrior Wrestling. Although there's very few actual Chicago talents that are put in. There's a couple, but they're calling it the Stadium Series. This is night one, which will be tomorrow night in Chicago Heights, and I'll tell you right now, the lineup for this thing is really good. If one of the matches pulls off, though, it's gonna be huge, just because of one of the people involved. So they've got Alex Shelley, the other half of the Motor City Machine Guns, will be wrestling in a singles match against TJP.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be good.
Yeah, that is. It's going to be a lot of speed, a lot of quick moves. I think that one is going to be, this is one of the times where I am glad that my butt is retired. I don't think I could keep up in a ring with these two. No way. Okay, guys, I'm going to be on the floor. When one of you covers the other one, I'll slide in, make a count, and if you kick out, I'll slide back out again, and I'll just let y'all go. I mean, and I worked lucha.
The joys of getting older.
Oh my God, yes. Getting older, getting beat up. Now, Brian Cage, the current FTW world champion, will be in. He was supposed to face Alex Zane. Zane's injured, so that's going to be postponed. And he's gonna be facing Benjamin Carter.
Ooh.
And yeah. Carter's definitely that kid is real good. I mean, I've been a fan of Cage's for quite a while. Obviously, I mean, obviously go back to Lucha Underground days and that. Ben Carter, I don't know if you saw his match on Dark at all.
I did not get to catch it, but I know the name and
watch
that match.
Yeah. Watch that match. If I remember right, it was Ricky Starks, and my immediate thought was, okay, they need to sign this kid, because he's that good. He is that good. Then Filthy Tom Lawler will be facing off against the latest signee for Major League Wrestling, Kevin Koo.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
That's going to be got a good show going on.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, Lawler is not had the best of luck. The last two times Warrior Wrestling was running, he lost to Minoru Suzuki and Killer Cross, now known as Karrion Cross. So, and then Koo just won a match over at BLP's through being cool. Now they got the first women's match is one that I would definitely pay to see, because these are two definitely great talents. Kimberly, who of course has been making her name in Impact Wrestling, and
mm-hmm.
currently
yep.
right now they've kind of got her as Deanna Perrazzo's right hand. Well, she is facing off against, get this, the NWA World Women's Champion and a good friend of ours, Thunder Rosa.
Oh, you know, she's been
yeah.
she's been making her rounds.
Oh yeah. I mean that the match with Hikaru Shida at All Out was excellent. Loved that match. And of course, this coming Wednesday on Dynamite, she is actually putting the NWA World Women's Title on the line against another longtime friend of mine, former Lucha Underground Trios champion, Ivelisse. So,
it is a match.
So,
go
ahead.
You know, you've got great women's talent, and AEW is going to showcase that in that match. Don't sleep on that match. Trust me. Don't get up to go to the bathroom. Don't get up to get a drink. Or, you know, to go to your fridge for food. That's
have
gonna,
it all with
in my
you.
Opinion, that could be match of the night for AEW. Don't sleep on that match.
Yeah.
You know, Thunder Rosa, she's been doing a phenomenal. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You keep talking here, Lee. This is a good one.
You know, she's been doing a phenomenal job. And now, recently, there was an article that came out that, I mean, I say recently it came out, it might have even been like a month ago, that WWE wanted to hire Thunder Rosa, but they wanted to hire her for not to wrestle. She was still going to be some form of on-air personality, but was not going to wrestle. And to me, that's a shame. Because she's been showing her talent all over the place. And it shows because the NWA made her the women's champion.
Right. No, what they wanted to hire her to do was be a referee.
Oh, that's what it was.
It's
a referee,
like,
yeah.
Come on.
So
you're going to bring Cobra Moon from Lucha Underground and WOW on board as a referee.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, yo, I'm sorry. Asia Pereira is one thing. Jessica Carr, AKA Kennedy Frank. That's one thing. But Thunder Rosa, Mel Cervantes. No, this woman is not a referee. This woman is a wrestler. And she is a darn good one.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, WWE let Eva Marie wrestle. They could let Thunder Rosa wrestle.
Yeah.
They could let her wrestle.
Yeah. Exactly. And they have a lot better products, I'll tell you.
No offense to Eva Marie, not exactly the most talented.
No, you got that straight.
Oh man.
But you can't. They,
oh my God.
They can't do that. And you know, like I said, it's gonna be a match to really pay attention to. Don't get up during it. And, you know, if you're gonna watch. She's been all over, and you know, now we're seeing her in AEW, and fans are like, "Oh wow, holy crap!" And I'm sitting here like, "Don't you watch NWA? There's a reason why she's coming out with that title. There's a reason why she has it." And I like the fact that, you know, we've seen AEW showcase other talents from other companies, and this is just another prime example. You know, I do think, and it would be really cool to see if some of these other companies could all, you know, kind of jump together and have like a mega show. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be Impact versus AEW versus ROH.
Right.
Have some, you know, all come together you know, maybe once a week on your platforms, you know, AEW send some guys to NWA to have those matches, and then the following week NWA sends their talent over, you know, and then following that Impact sends to there and this and that, and you know, kind of like a territory thing like they do back in the day, you know. I think it would be awesome to see.
Well, I'll tell you right now. Once they start, well, in fact, actually, they've been doing some tapings for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, because one of my friends is from the tag team 4 Minutes of Heat, and they've been out there a few times recently, and it seems like. Corgan and Tony Khan have a working arrangement going. So I think we are going to see more of this. I've been talking about the very real possibility of Cody Aldis 3 happening at some point here. And waiting to see what pulls out here. Okay, so going on, they've got Joey Janela against Jake Parnell, a.k.a. Warhorse. So,
did you see that Joey Janela today, Canale's done?
No.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Someone posted a photo. And it was him, and he had his sunglasses on. They had like this big piece over his mouth with all the, you know, the rubber sheet that they do when they do those things. He was having 5 done.
Right. Oh,
that's
my God.
That's absolutely crazy.
It
is. I could not imagine.
I've had one, and I know how bad that is. Oh.
Yeah, I had
5 at once.
Yeah, he did 5.
Oh, my
5
God.
5 canals.
Wow.
Yeah, can't imagine it.
Mm.
And for everyone listening
me
out
either.
There, if you've never had a root canal, I've had one done. If you've never had a root canal, it's not pleasant. Just having one tooth done can take a good hour and a half, 2 hours, I believe, if I remember it correctly, when I had mine done.
Right.
So I don't know how he convinced the dentist.
Yeah.
I don't know how he convinced the dentist to do all 5 at once, but.
Me either.
He's going to be hurting.
That's wild. Yeah.
He's going to be hurting.
Yeah. Either that or he's got some malicious pain medicine. Oh.
Well,
seriously.
Well, he is
seriously.
A wrestler, and we know wrestlers when it comes to pain medicine. I'm sure he's got some good. I'm sure they're going to prescribe him something good. How could you not?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you have to. I mean, you have to with one, let alone 5. Oh, my God. Then they have a intergender match. The Alpha 1 Zero Gravity champion, Dan the Dad, will be facing off against Elena Black.
Chubbs. You don't see much of those intergender matches, and I don't mind them at all. I you know, if done correctly, they can be great matches.
Right.
And you know, we've seen a lot of people speak out about intergender matches, whether you like them or you hate them.
Right.
Personally, I'm a fan if they're, you know, done right. You know, and you know they can be made believable. Look at Tessa Blanchard; she was the Impact heavyweight champion. You know, she beat Sami Callihan, and you know, so like I said. You can have those matches, and
and do them right. And, you know, I believe Eli Drake who spoke out against those matches while he was in Impact, and then they let him go.
Yes, that's right. It was Eli Drake who did that. And yeah, I think that was, yeah, if I remember right, that was the reason that that they did fire him. So
yeah, they let him go over it.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely crazy.
Okay, then you got the Rascals. Okay, yeah, exactly. So then you've got the Rascals, and they'll be going in six-man against Myron Reed, Jordan Oliver, and fellow Impact star Chris Bay. Myron Reed's the MLW middleweight champion. He and Jordan Oliver are regular tag partners, and of course anybody who watches Impact, you know about Chris Bay, you know about the Rascals, so
yep.
you definitely know what you're getting with the four of them. It'll be interesting with the mix with Reed and Oliver to see how that one goes out. Now, one of the Chicago talents and somebody whom is a friend of mine, we used to work in a promotion here together, Isaias Velasquez, will be taking on Daga. And so, and I mean, Daga, if you've seen him in Impact, if you've seen him in AAA, you definitely know the quality of talent he is. I will vouch for Isaias from here to the moon. The guy is definitely good. They had him go over on Alex Shelley at BLP's Eric Stevens Presents Pro Wrestling just a matter of a couple of weeks ago.
Sounds like the crowd's going to be in for a really good time.
They should be. I mean, Chicago people know Isaias, so they already know what they're getting with him. And like I say, anybody who's watched Dog on TV knows what kind of quality they're getting. Now, the main event, if this actually happens, and if she shows up, that's going to be the thing. Kylie Rae, the current number one contender for the Knockouts title, is on, and she shows up. She will be facing her first match back since she was fired, Tessa Blanchard.
I like how you threw in the "if she shows up" part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because at first you were like,
well,
if she shows up, Kylie Rae. I'm like in my head, I'm like, well,
yeah,
why would they?
Yeah, this lost the static effect here. I mean, now she and Daga just got married, so you'd think, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, controversy put to the side, Tessa Blanchard is a very talented performer. I mean, you know, hey, when you grew up as the daughter of Tulsa Blanchard and the stepdaughter of Magnum T.A., even though, you know, he couldn't actually actively work with her, he could definitely still teach her a lot of stuff. And that, it's, you know, I mean, that's quite the pedigree to come to pull off of. And that.
Yeah.
So that, well, That will.
Well, I hope she shows up.
I mean, definitely, the fans would be in for a real treat on that one. So now, moving on into the New Japan, they had to come up with a new IWGP Junior Tag Team Champions, and so a couple of days ago, they had a tournament. The reason that they had to do this, Yo from Roppongi 3K is injured, and Japan, they're actually legitimately strict about that. If you are not able to defend, you lose your title. Because John Moxley lost the IWGP US title for a short period because of travel situations with the typhoon at the time. So they had a tournament, and so for this one, Suzuki Goon, which was represented by El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru, defeated Bushi and Hiromu Takahashi from Los Ingobernables de Japón to get the belt. This is their second time holding these titles. They held them previously for 304 days and finally lost them in early part of last year. Now the G1. Now here's another one though, Lee. The G1 Climax. They just today they announced the participants and their two blocks. And this is interesting. The lineup, especially in both blocks have some surprises in here. So and the G1, of course, is an excellent tournament. Been watching that one for the last couple of years myself. Really enjoy that. Block A is Kota Ibushi, Kazuchika Okada, Tomohiro Ishii, Shingo Takagi, Yujiro Takahashi, Tachi, Minoru Suzuki, and get this, okay, first surpriser, Jeff Cobb. Because again, the travel situations, it's like, okay, how are they getting these guys over there? Al, but yeah, go ahead. You started to kind of chuckle a little bit when I mentioned Jeff's name.
Dude, Jeff Cobb is amazing. Simply amazing. There's no other way to put it. Just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. Then, also in Block A, Will Ospreay. So
another great talent.
He has apparently, yes, he's apparently healed up, which is good. And the third one, the leader, maybe, of the Bullet Club, the Switchblade himself, Jay White.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. I mean, I was surprised a couple of weeks ago when I saw that he was on the NJPW American show. It's like, how'd he manage to get over here from New Zealand? Because, I mean, most every country has banned travel to the U.S. And so he's been in the U.S. Now he's heading back over to Japan, which I'm waiting to see how this all plays out, because I'm wondering if they're going to have him eventually square off with Evil and Dick Togo for control of the Bullet Club. Now, in fact, there's some potential matches here, because here's the B block list. Get ready for this: Hiroshi Tanahashi, Hiroki Goto, Toru Yano, Yoshihashi, Sonata, and I love that dude's look. Seriously, he looks like he comes out of one of those Final Fantasy video games. But he's also a great talent. The now reigning again IWGP heavyweight and IWGP Intercontinental Champion, Tetsuya Naito. The man who he lost that title to and beats back for it, Evil, which, here you go, you could possibly have a Jay White Evil match in this tournament at some point. Oh, now the potential stories are definitely right themselves in there. And then rounding out that field, Zack Sabre Jr., who, again, somehow they got him back over there from New Zealand. Juice Robinson, who I know he actually lives in Japan. And then Kenta, Kenta Kobayashi. So I think that's going to be some really, really awesome stuff there. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you're going to have a whole lot of different styles in one match.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I am definitely looking forward to that one. Moving on. Last night we talked about Vince and his whole thing with third party social media, which which, of course, the Dark Order played off of being the Elite that came out after All Out, where Mr. Brody slapped the phone away from Evil Uno's hands and started cussing him out about being on Twitch and telling him you're making my company look bad. And all of that. I thought it was hilarious. There's people that think that AEW does too many knocks against WWE. Well, hey, WWE has had many, many years with no competition. So when the time came, they're gonna get shot at. That's just it.
You have to expect it.
And then, exactly. So the media scrum that Tony Khan has after all the shows, he was asked about Kip Sabian, where he promoted his Twitch channel, and was asked about AEW's stance on talents using third party platforms. Well, he says that there's different answers for different platforms, and that a talent seeking out a sponsorship and using a third-party platform is a little different, but he supports people going out on Twitch and YouTube, for example, and monetizing those platforms. And talked about BTE, which is not on the AEW channel, but they still support it. And he said he's not going to stop Kip Sabian, which means he's definitely not going to stop Evil Uno. So they're, again, he says it's different for each platform and how you address it. He says he doesn't think he would tell anyone in the company what they can't do outside of the company. And so I think that's, you know, to me, especially from what we talked about last night with Vince and that, I think that, I mean, you tell me how you feel, but I think that's a very refreshing outlook.
Yeah. When you go back to, you know, with Vince and him saying that, you know, kind of, I took it, like I said, we talked about it last night. I kind of took it as backpedaling, you know, that he backpedaled mm-hmm. and said, well, not, you know, you can have it, but you just can't use your WWE name. Now, we've already seen Kofi Kingston take out the on Cameo. He just has himself down as Kofi and took out his headliner as, you know, being a former WWF champion and tag team champion, all that. And just simply wrote, you know who I am, you know what I do, book me, basically, you know, type deal. I think that no matter what, you know, and there's a reason why, like, we've seen on Twitter, wrestlers put their real names up top and then their Twitter handle is the actual aspect of their WWE, you know,
right.
their pro wrestling career. You know, like when Zack Ryder was in WWE, he was one who put his name as Matt Cardona. We've seen Alexa Bliss do it as
right.
you know, Lexi Kaufman and stuff like that. I think that
right.
companies need to also realize that, you know, it's like, in a sense of a way, they need to, you know, kind of realize the same thing with, you know, as actors. You know, we don't look at an actor and just say, you know, like Adam Sandler and just say, oh, that's, you know, he's so-and-so, and that's all we know him for.
Right.
And we call him by that or know
exactly.
him by that. You know, these, you know, yes. Are they pro wrestlers? Yes. Are they in the entertainment business? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are they athletes? Yes.
Right.
Are they actors? Yes. You know, they are acting under a different name, different persona, not being, you know, when
right.
he was, you know, she, you know, in WWE, she's Alexa Bliss. Outside of that, she's Lexi Kaufman. But in reality, on TV, we only see her as Alexa Bliss. We, you know, the only
yep.
way we see Lexi Kaufman is if she's on an episode of Up, Up, Down, Down. Or, you know, now she's starting her own podcast, I saw.
Okay.
That she tweeted about. So, you know, now that's where you'll see her real life, you
mm-hmm.
know, come out in things like that. And I think we as fans and we, you know, as, you know, the wrestling world just needs to realize that who they are in the ring isn't who they are outside of it. You know, everyone, you know, they're
yep.
They're playing a character for all intents and purposes, a character or a persona, however you want to word it. We just need to realize that they're also somebody else, you know, like me
yeah.
and myself, I wouldn't approach say like a Hulk Hogan or Chris Jericho while they're at a restaurant. I wouldn't bug them at a mall. I wouldn't bug them at an airport because they're not Hulk Hogan at that point. They're not Chris Jericho at that point, but that's how we, I mean, it's his real name,
right.
but I mean that, that's how we know them outside
yeah,
of that.
Exactly.
They have other things they do. So to sit there and be, you know, like, you know, with Vince saying, well, you have to close all this stuff.
Right.
And that they're third party things. No, like they don't have to. And I don't think that something like this ever
yep.
should have happened, you know? So when
exactly.
you were saying what he
exactly.
said, you know, I think it's a great thing. You know, I think it's better for them to have these third party sites, even though someone calculated and,
you know, came to realize that actually making like $45,000 a month, which turns out to be over $550,000 a year that she's making off of Twitch. She's making over $500,000 now, plus her contract with WWE. Let's say for all intents and purposes, it's also $500,000. Now she's making $1 million as opposed to $500,000, you know, and now we're seeing.
Right.
That doesn't even count her.
Right. And that doesn't even count her actual store in L.A., in that shopping mall, the Saria store.
Oh, yeah. That's not, yeah. You know.
Oh.
So, you know, as, you know, just like other professional athletes in other organizations like the NFL, NBA, MLB, do they have to go and report to their teams or the league that they are doing commercials, that they have other contracts and sponsorships and this and that? Do they have to do that? Because now I find it weird that all of a sudden WWE, now they have to, you know, because aren't these other athletes technically independent contractors because they sign contracts to play in these other sports too. And they're not told no to Cameo, or that they can't be on Twitch, or that they can't have YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, the only.
Right. Absolutely.
And literally the only reason why we're seeing it with the. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, so, you know, the only reason why we're seeing it with WWE was solely because that they were using their WWE names, which for most of them, as we know, Vince owns the name. So when, you know, the word got out that their name, the WWE name is being used, well, he didn't like that. But then all of a sudden there was a huge outcry, whether it was, you know, from other wrestlers, from fans, from those under contract with WWE themselves. Too later, he kind of backpedaled and said, you can have it, but you can't use the name that you have a contract with me under. So now they all have to switch their
job. Right, exactly. I mean, you know, he tried the I own your real name too, but that kind of went south real quick. And that, you know, and, you know, when you talk about the fact that, yeah, these people are, you know, no, not their character 24/7, and that you know, two words come to mind: Sonya Deville. You know, and I just keep harking back to that and what that poor woman is going through or has gone through. Just it's like you know. You know, I mean, for all the years that I've been in this, you know, I enjoy fans, but at some point, the fans get to where they're no longer fans, and they become an issue, and I don't like that, you know. And shouldn't have to think that way, but sometimes, unfortunately, you do.
Yeah, so. and that's why I said that, like me myself, I wouldn't bug them at an airport. I wouldn't bug them at a hotel room. I wouldn't bug them at dinner type deal, because at that point, they're not who I know them as on TV. And, you know, I know there's a lot of fans out there that do it, you know, to get the photo or to get the autograph and stuff like that. But then there's also people out there, and I've seen videos of it where, you know, there's a crowd surrounding, you know, Chris Jericho's vehicle, and he can't even get into the vehicle, and he's got to, like, you know, slander, you know, he's got to push people away and this and that. Or, you know, I've seen where Paige at like a hotel goes to sign like six autographs, and she goes, oh, are these all for, you know, friends of yours or something? And he literally goes, no, I'm putting them on eBay. And she just stopped signing and didn't sign for anyone else after that. So, you know, like I understand both sides, but I also know
right.
You have to give them personal space. And the whole thing with
right.
Sonya Deville, that kid, you went to his Twitter account, it was everything.
Oh,
Sonya
my God.
Deville. He didn't tweet about anything else.
Yeah.
And the stuff
yeah.
that he was tweeting,
I
think that, like, in his own head, he thought that he was in a relationship with her the way he was tweeting at her and stuff.
Right, right. it's like if you, you know, when you watch an episode of Law and Order and you've got the crazed, obsessed killer, and there's always one wall of their seedy apartment that has nothing but pictures of their victim, and that Twitter was that seedy apartment wall, and
yeah.
it was all pictures of her, all tweets from her. It's like oh my God, you know, when I went to his Twitter the day after it happened, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh my God, this is one sick SOB. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
for real.
I was
blown away, to be honest with you. Like, I sat there and I looked at it, and I just said, holy, that's taking it to a whole new level
yeah.
in my eyes. The fact that, like, he sat out there.
Yeah.
And that he waited. Literally, he waited for her to go to sleep, and then knew enough where to hide, how to break in, this and that. And the way it sounds
yep.
like he got pretty far into the house. Like, he almost made it to her bedroom.
God forbid
he would have, because, you know, the for starters, the kid overstepped
yeah.
his boundaries just with Twitter alone. You know, and then at the end, like,
right.
you know, when he wrote the things that he wrote, and then, like, there was even, he was even tweeting at somebody. There was only other tweets I saw where he tweeted at somebody else. Was like a psychologist or some sort of doctor or something along those lines.
Right.
When he was like,
right.
I've got a question for you. Please follow me back so I can ask you, this could change my life.
Yep.
Who knows what the question
yep.
was? It was
yep.
the question, should
exactly.
I go to her house? You know, should I do this
yeah.
or should I do that? You know, it sounds like there's a lot of psychological issues wrong with this person. And I,
yeah,
for, you know, for his sake, I hope, you know, he's going to jail. We all
yeah.
know that. But I hope
right,
that,
right.
like, while in jail, they have him seeing a psychologist
yeah.
or he's in an isolated
right.
wing, because he's not mentally well. Let's be honest.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, I'm wondering if he's not going to actually get sentenced to a psych ward rather than to prison because of you know everything that he shows. I mean, I'm not a psychologist. I took educational psychology when I was in college. For my teaching certificate and that, to look at the obsessions that he had with her or has with her. I mean, we might as well call it present tense, because obviously that's why the man is in jail right now. know,
yeah,
it's definitely a case of, you know, something has got to give to get him the help that he desperately needs.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, you know, it's clear as day he's going to be going, you know, I would assume that with all the charges he got, he would try to plead insanity. But, you know, mm-hmm. that insanity plea means you're going to a psych ward for a long time then, as opposed to jail.
Right.
Which, I mean, I feel like in this situation, a psych ward is probably better for him than jail would be. But
yes,
he had intention to harm, which is where I feel like, you know, they're going to, like, just throw him in jail as a result type deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you know, we're going to have to wait to find out what the courts will do. I don't even know if down there that, you know, courts are open or anything like that where, you know, they can have these hearings or, you know, how they're going to go about doing
that.
Well,
they did have a preliminary because I actually watched that one of the local channels in that area had the feed from the first hearing, and Sonia and Mandy were there both testifying on that one. They were in the courtroom. He was on, I guess he was on remote from the prison.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And that, so, well, I'll tell you what, let's line up before we finish here and that, and we'll go to your site, the Sports Kita. There is an article in there on Alexa Bliss's new podcast. Oh, the title though, I don't know. It's being called Uncool with Alexa Bliss.
Oh.
So
maybe. Especially on the verge of all this happening, I guess it'll be interesting to see if she's doing it through WWE.
Right. Well, the video is shown here with the WWE logo at the top. The YouTube video.
So it might be a WWE, you know, she might be doing it through WWE then, kind of like how
right.
Corey Graves had his and stuff like that.
Right, exactly. Now, boy, she definitely got a very unique setting here. I see a troll, a Hot Wheels car, and a Furby.
I mean, I know she's big on Disney, but
so,
I mean,
oh, she's a fanatical Disney person. She's at Disney World whenever she gets a chance.
Yeah, just like Matt Cardona is too. But
and
no,
so and so is so are Kevin Owens and his family.
Yeah.
They're huge Disney people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yep.
We'll finish up. This is also available on sportskita.com, folks. They have an article that they posted up today called Six Superstars Who Had a Crush on Another WWE Employee. this is some interesting stuff. I mean, Paige had a crush on Steve Austin. Ruby Riott had crushes on Steve Austin and Razor Ramon.
That's two different extremes.
Now we're not gonna give everything away. There's an interesting one about Roderick Strong and a few others. We'll just leave it at that. If you wanna find out more, you got to check out sportskeeda.com. So
yeah, go read it, fans, because it's quite interesting to see who liked who when they were teenagers growing up or coming up in the business type deal. Who they crushed on?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's it's some fun stuff. So. All right. Well, for regular BTR listeners, we'll be back Thursday with TNT on BTR. I will be back here next Friday night. Lee, of course, if you want to be my co-host for it, you're definitely more than welcome. This has been fun as it always is with you. Lee also has his own podcast, Perched on the Top Rope. Make sure you check that out. That's also a real good one. SportsKeeda.com. And definitely check all that stuff out. So, Lee, thank you so much for being with me in the den tonight. Really, really appreciate it, my friend.
Hey, no, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, and I think I'll take you up on that offer. I'll see you next Friday.
All right. There you go, folks. Another hour of Live from the Dean's Den next Friday. So thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Live from the Dean's Den. Live from the Dean's Den comes to you every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio on Evolution Radio Network. Replays can be found on Anchor FM, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.